3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Welcome to another exciting episode of NIDS Knowledge, a weekly show of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies, where we are advancing peace, promoting stability, and helping you to think deterrence. Each week, we inform you about a deterrence topic and its value in preserving peace. We hope you enjoy this show.
Greetings, everybody. I'm Joe Buff, a fellow of the Society of Actuaries since 1980. I'm a senior fellow in NIDS, where I focus on applied nuclear deterrence theory on planet Earth and in outer space. Today's NIDS knowledge topic is nuclear right-sizing. This is the process of figuring out how many warheads in America's nuclear arsenal are really enough to do the job of deterring our great country's numerous adversaries. At the foundational core of American effective deterrence is precisely this challenging question of properly right-sizing our nuclear arsenal, given the growing nuke inventories of Russia, China, North Korea, and maybe soon Iran if we don't stop them. There's ample reason to seriously question whether the United States currently has enough numbers and right mix of types of nuclear weapons on hand. We are not starting an arms race here. We are simply maintaining necessary catch-up, dynamic parity, that is, symmetry and balance against the rapidly growing nuclear arsenals of our adversaries. It's freedom's enemies who started this new arms race 10 or 20 years ago. We have absolutely no viable choice except to keep pace. There are four essential ingredients behind setting America's sound right-sizing quota at a given time for our arsenal. These steps are risk management, the U.S.'s deterrence and assurance goals, force use guidelines, and operational constraints. Today, we'll unpack that all-important first ingredient, risk management, while also touching on the others. Risk management issues permeate virtually every decision about nuclear policy, strategy, posture, and arsenal right-sizing. Deterrence theorists rightly argue that the U.S. should start by understanding exactly what each adversary regime values most out of all that they do own, while also fathoming our adversary's geostrategic objectives. This information is vital to determine what all we need to hold at risk in order to reliably deter them. In other words, what high-value assets to target, what geopolitical conquests to prevent. The total number of these widespread and often hardened strategic targets, tallied up across all the nuclear-armed enemies we face, is an essential input to arsenal right-sizing. We also need to clearly understand what our non-nuclear-armed allies expect from us. That is, what we need to do to keep them from building their own nuclear arsenals in violation of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Additionally, political and fiscal considerations have a major impact on arsenal size. For the United States, this limited capacity of our defense industrial base is a serious constraint right now, a major worry demanding immediate action and correction. Responsible whole-of-government spending control and deficit reduction are also critical. Why? The less money is available to modernize and expand America's indispensable triad, the greater the risk that our force structure will just not be adequate to deter our adversaries and assure our allies. Since mutual nuclear deterrence has never once failed, yet anyway, all this right-sizing analysis is necessarily prospective. It's hypothetical, but it's damn serious. Triad's right-sizing's goal-setting, thank God, cannot rely on any real-world experience of superpower or rogue state nuclear warfighting. Instead, we need to use inferences from past conventional military and geopolitical history. This needs to be combined with playing out repeatedly on paper and in conference room war games, the progression and the grim aftermath of possible near-future nuclear war scenarios. Actuarial science says that guarding against catastrophic failures calls for hard-nosed disaster prevention across different worst-case scenarios. Clearly, a major nuclear attack is vastly more horrible than a small one, as bad as a small one would be. So, our risk calculations must include the worst case of a major attack or even a series of major attacks. In other words, given the appallingly catastrophic results of any large-scale nuclear warfighting, right-sizing our triad must reliably achieve deterring all our adversaries simultaneously, deterring them from everything nuclear, ranging from one local, limited tactical strike all the way up to and including, yes, wholesale ongoing thermonuclear war. This necessitates accounting for scenarios in which China, Russia, North Korea, and maybe soon Iran, known together by the acronym CRINKS, would collaborate and pool their nukes against the world's democracies. Yep, the whole entire, rapidly up-arming CRINKS could dangerously coerce or actually attack in a very big way the United States and or our nuclear umbrella allies. The four CRINKS might do this all at once, or they might attack in sequence, opportunistically, one after the other. We need enough survivable nukes on hand to deter them all combined, because otherwise they'll be too tempted to attack us as a unified block. Think they'd never do something like this? Think again. They've all shown their murderous wholesale brutality already in Ukraine, the Middle East, and against the Uyghurs in Western China. They spew chilling nuclear threats at us at an intensifying pace. They're not bluffing. Restraint and morality mean nothing to these so-called friends without limits. Successful risk management has to be founded on exactly such stark realism. A nuclear forever war of attrition with many strikes and counterstrikes till nuclear arsenals are exhausted, ironically, wouldn't really last very long, but it might well extinct all humanity forever. This worst of all worst-case scenario simply must be deterred. That nuclear forever war could even result from inadvertent, out-of-control escalation from a small initial nuclear attack. So, effective tactical nuclear deterrence, that is, credible, usable, proportionate deterrence of low-yield nuclear strikes, is just as essential. Thus, another key, besides sheer numbers of warheads, is flexibility of yield options and of warhead delivery options. Optimal force structure design is definitely part of right-sizing. Putting all this together, we need to be fully ready to outclimb our adversaries if they ever even think about climbing up the nuclear escalation ladder in a crisis or a conflict. this American escalation dominance will show them that they can gain nothing by such escalation, and they'll lose everything if they don't instead agree to an armistice soon on terms favorable to the United States. This is the ultimate manifestation of our nuclear risk management and our nuclear arsenal right-sizing. American escalation dominance in being. In conclusion, it isn't enough to just talk about right-sizing. We have to do it. Only with tough and unified political will, speedy and pragmatic research and development, shrewd intelligence analysis, and brilliant acquisition time and cost efficiency can America achieve a properly right-sized nuclear deterrence triad and accompanying optimal nuclear posture for the risk-laden years that lie ahead. There is no more time to waste. Think peace through strength to beat them crinks in Cold War II. Thank you, and think deterrence.
Thank you for listening to NIDS Knowledge. This show is produced under the NIDS Podcasting Network, a division of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. NIDS is a 501c3 organization dependent upon donations to provide this podcast and bring about awareness of the peacekeeping value of U.S. strength and our national deterrence. You can catch all of our podcasts or provide feedback at thinkdeterrence.com. I would like to thank our producer, Kimberly Charrington, our sponsors, and all the fantastic members of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies for making this podcast possible. Stay tuned next week for another exciting and informative NIDS Knowledge.
A production of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies.